talents and gifts that you share and pray to God. It's amazing how the Lord gives men and women to do the things that He does to glorify Him, and I appreciate your faithfulness there to do that today here at the church this afternoon. Again, it's a blessing for me to be a part of the meeting here at the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church, and thank you my wife Penny to come with me and we could be together and we could visit you all, and all already been encouraged in so many ways. I do appreciate amazing grace so many ways. I know you do. I think we take for granted God's grace sometimes, and I think sometimes we waste a lot of grace. I know that I do. When I think about grace, again, I wanted to talk this morning, I'm talking about the Bible. I don't think we talk about that enough. And again, this is pure shame we ever need the Bible. Because we ought not, we have a blessing from God that is sure and sincere. And I think what happens is we disconnect and we don't really intend to. It's kind of like 3 weeks ago, I went out and had a leaking tire. My computer says my truck tire was low. So I drive out to the barn, and I get the air compressor hose, and I get to the truck tire, and there's nothing. And it's almost a new compressor, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm about to get on a preacher. And I'm getting tired, it's hot, you know, and the tire's about half flat. So I walk into the barn and come to find out the thing's unplugged. And what happened, it looked like it was plugged in. It was kind of hanging there, you know, in the receptacle. And some way I probably did it. I tripped around or somebody moved the cord and no power connection. I think our Christian life gets like that sometimes. You know, people look like they're Christians, you know, and they kind of go to church and they plug, but they're not really connected to God. And to know that the Lord is your shepherd is your connection point. The very first thing we have to do to get a good contact with God is submit to Him. I mean, just give it all. And what I'm saying is submit to God. Again, that's faith is purely defined as trusting God with everything. And that's even the things you don't understand. See, don't try to figure God out. I mean, His ways and our ways are not different. I mean, are so different. It's a heaven is from the earth. It's right. One day, I visited a guy, Brother Gene Denmark, who was taking for a church, and he had open heart surgery down in Savannah, and he had got home and got an infection, and he went back into rehab, and I was down at the memorial, and they had a rehab there then. And I went into his room one morning, and he was beamed. He sat up in his bed and said, "Brother Gene, I want to tell you something that I found." I said, "What is that, Brother John?" He said, and he pulled out a Gideon Bible that he found in the drawer there left during the night. He said, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, "I just have struggled with what all is going on and why my infection comes back." And says, "Look at this." And he got this Isaiah 57. He said, "Why don't you read this with me?" He says, "My ways and your ways are not the same. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. For my ways are as high above yours as the earth is from heaven." And he said, that brought me so much comfort. And what a blessing that is. What a joy to know how much, and that's grace. See, this book is a book of grace. And I just tell you these little episodes, and it's about God. But you know, I want you to be prepared because you don't know what you're going to face. And you've got to understand, the 23rd song is a traveling, it's a journey. And we're gonna read that again in a minute. I know you're familiar with it, but it is a journey. Life is a journey, and whatever you're going through now, right now, did you know that is God's preparation for your something that's coming? That's how God does. He prepares us, and we need to understand your greatest test of your faith hasn't come yet. See Abraham, the father of faithful. He left the Arab Chaldeans. And God says, "You just go somewhere. You don't know where you're going, but I'm going to be with you." See, that's what the shepherd does. See, I'm going to guide you. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus says, you know, the birds, they don't worry. The flowers, They don't have to put on special clothes. God does. It says, you're more valuable than they are. So the time we waste worrying is wasting God's grace. And what happens when we worry, we're not trusting God. Now, I'm telling you something that I don't often practice. I mean, I'm telling you something, you know, preachers are good at preaching to people, but sometimes we need to look at our own hearts and see that we're trying to live what we preach. And that's how we need to do as Christians. But your power is God. You draw close to God, and God draws close to you. Another episode I think of before I get into this, and His grace. One Friday evening, I get a phone call, and there's an accident at the church, some of the church folks. A young, one of the drivers, a teenage truck, had pulled out in front of a car on Highway 67. A person was killed, three or four of the guys, they all in the emergency room. I get in the emergency room, I walk in the emergency room, and there's, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what to say, you don't know what to do. See, this is what God is doing. See, and so I walk in this room, and there's a lady sitting there, one of the members of the church, and her husband, her son's laying there on a stretcher. Got him covered up. She's laying in a rocking chair. I never forget that scene. Weeping. Crying. She looks up at me, and she said, Brother Manny, tell me something. Tell me something. She's got a Bible in her lap. See, she's rocked. Tell me something. And that I can see, that I can feel, that I can have any help. I don't know where it comes from. I do not know. But Psalms 50:15 came to me. And that Psalm says, God says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And I said that. God said that. I was just a mouthpiece. But that family lost a lot, but God has glorified that family. And you know, that's God. That is the shepherd of our souls. And so when I'm talking about revival, see, you got to have revival because you got to go through some life issues that are not revival. Does that make sense? See, you got to stay hydrated with God. You got to stay hydrated with His Word. I try to. When I was in high school, I tried to play football a lot, and I remember how hot it was in practice in September and all that, and we'd go to camp and all that. But I learned this: I never walked by a water fountain in school that I didn't take a drink of water, because I might not even be thirsty. But I knew what was coming. I knew what was going to be out there Saturday afternoon on field. I knew the wind sprints were coming and burner. I knew what was going to happen. So I'm going to get hydrated. So spiritually speaking, you need to stay hydrated. And when I talk about the 23rd Psalm, you say, you know, I say, I already know. No, you don't. You just need to keep that in your mind and your heart. So you need to be brainwashed with Jesus, okay? You need to have Jesus for breakfast every morning. Now, you won't make it through life. I mean, you won't. I don't see how a marriage makes it without God. I don't. I don't know to see how families. I mean, I don't see how people stay off of drugs. I don't see how, I mean, with all this world and all the attachment that goes with it, unless you have a savior, that a shepherd that's leading us. Because we are the sheep. And we need guiding. We need chasing. We need reprimand. We need treatment. And I told you, I visited the shepherds that had a literal sheep, a friend of mine, and I watched that man, how he had to take care of them, how finicky they were, how their personalities, even among the sheep, clashed. And you know, we're the same way in that way. But it has to do, this afternoon, I mentioned this morning, rather, grace, I mean grief, and love, and then how you have a godly sort of grief. I mean, you love and you don't be afraid to love because you're going to get hurt. Sometimes I think life is like, and it applies to our love for God. You know, you can go through life and things don't turn out like you want, and your heart, you can make a wall around your heart almost, and you get cold and callous. You don't love anymore. And we all have to do that. We got to break out of that. And so grief is a part of it, a broken heart. But God is near to those of a contrite and broken spirit. And I said before, God will hurt you. He will. But he'll never harm you. See, that's what a shepherd does. The guy I was visiting with, Pete, has a sheep. I'm looking at a sheep. And this is a big ram. And I said, Pete, what's that ram? What you got around his neck? He has something like a yoke. You see him a cat and a yoke, you know? And I said, well, what's that? He said, you know, I need to go, I got that sheep a mile. That is genetics, and he told me about him for his herd, for his flock. And he said, but hey, that guy just won't stay in. I couldn't keep him in the pasture. So I had to put something on him. I had to make it where he couldn't leave. So he put this on him. And you know what? I think his sheep and God's special like we are. God, you have a cross. You have a cross to bear. Every one of you do. And you need to bear that cross. It is the cross. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul says, I finished my course. It is his course. You have a course. I have a course. I've kept the faith. You see, I've fought a good fight. Now that is the 23rd Psalm in reality. But that cross God gives us is something we need not be ashamed of, but we need to wear it because God has given it to us. You know why? To keep us in the pasture, to humble us, to keep us in the pastures that God would have us feed in. Were it not for that, see, do not ever pray that God will just take away your problems. Because if you have all your problems taken away, you're going to forget about God. I guarantee you. Now, I don't believe I'd have any trouble, don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, look, I'm talking to the reason I got ladies laid down in the green pasture, but about the best thing that we can ever make in this life is a mistake. Do you ever say a mistake? Because why? When you make a mistake and you realize it, that's the grace of God. You understand that? You understand with me, and I'm with you on this, one of the greatest blessings that you and I have is to be convicted of our sins. A man stood up at the Statesboro Community Baptist Church one day, we were having Thanksgiving service, he was on a different faith, and I was asking the congregation, all right, let's go around, let's give whatever you're thankful of. And all of us there, we were giving thanks, how God blessed us, and we can all name numerous things. This man stands up and he says, I thank God that he's convicted me of my sins. I tell you, that was a profound moment. I never heard somebody say that before. I mean, why do you want to be? He said, because that is how I know who my Savior is. That is how I know what he was in, that I have a shepherd. I mean, that's what God does. You see, God is... He's going to put something on you because he's put something in you. And he's got something for you to do. See? So that's what he does. God's not going to just leave you to flap around in the world like you want. And we might think we're going to have our own way, but we're going to figure it out pretty quick. And if not, you know, we'll be chased. God will, he never stops loving us. But he loves us the way we are, but he's not going to leave us that way. He's shaping and molding us to be just like Jesus. So Pete put something on that sheet to keep me in. And I guarantee you, God has put something on you and on me to keep us in the pasture. Okay? Now, let's look at the 23rd Psalm. I know you're familiar with it. Whether you want to turn to it or not, you can. It's a powerful part of God's Word. And I think, when I think about the grace of God's love, and I think about it in relation to revival, what is grace? Grace is... What it really means is we get something we don't deserve. I mean, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve this green pastures of life. We don't. Or wherever you are right now, you don't even understand that if you thank God for it. It might not be wherever you thank God when he's given. Don't be so concerned about where you want to go. Be thankful for where you are now. You got that. That is how we need to be. See, you live today with all the authenticity and enthusiasm that you can, because it's all you got. And so God will take care of tomorrow.
See?
He's the shepherd. He's the one that's moving us around in our life. See, don't sit around wasting time worrying about what nursing home you're going to end up in. Or when you're going to have enough money to do this, that, and the other. You go ahead and serve God. You take what God gives you, because grace is just like man. So what God does, just like the children of Israel, He gave them just enough for one day, you know, except on the Sabbath day. You get what God gives you today. And don't miss it, because you're going to go hungry if you do. And sometimes we don't understand it's going to be just what we need. See, the reason you don't pray that God will take away your troubles, what you pray for is that God will give you strength. You know where God gives you strength? That's His grace. You remember the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That's what Paul got from God to keep him in the pasture, by the way. See, he was getting lifted up high and mighty. God gave him a thorn in the flesh. God gave you something to hurt. God will give you some sort of sorrow. You thank God, Lord. You say, God, what I want to do is honor you. What I want to do, Lord, I want to be a faithful sheep. And whatever pasture you want me to be in, Lord, if you want to move me, or whether you move me through the valley of shadow of death, Lord, I know that you're going to be with me. See, the Apostle Paul prayed fervently that God would take away that problem, whatever it was. That's a thorn. Most of the time, our biggest problem are just little things. If you're not careful, the very littlest thing will bother you the most. See, it's not the big things that interrupt us; it's the little things. See, you get a over in the country. Sometimes I get a sand spur, a sock, something like that. You got to just stop taking boots off. You can't deal with that. It's just a little thing. Might not be that big. You got to get rid of it. A little thorn gets in it. I mean, you know. Sometimes I'll get a thorn in my hand, and I don't know how many times my wife was having to pick something out of my hand. You know, I can't do it, reach it. You gotta let her have it. You gotta dig on it, get rid of it, because it hurts. I mean, you know, you can get along without it, I guess, but you know what's in there. But what God told Paul, He says, no, and I paraphrase it, I'm gonna take it away. I'll tell you what we'll do, I'm gonna give you grace. I'm gonna give you something that's gonna be efficient. And it's sufficient. And you know our greatest witness. I do not understand, just like you, I don't understand why Charlie Kirk died. I don't. You would think. But what I found out in my life, in my little working ministry, some of the worst things happen to some of the very best people. And I can't figure that out. But I gotta tell you this, God has given you that to witness His grace. Because grace is the most powerful witness that God is ever going to give us here on earth. Grace. God's unmerited favor. That's what it is. And it's amazing to me. See, it's not so much, I think we get too involved trying to act. Do the act. The look, again, you know, the Christian look. What happens is, what really matters is how we react. In other words, the shepherd will direct us in our life. Now, how are we going to react to that? Over here at Pete Ball's place, those sheep react. When he put the food out, they were there. They didn't question it. They didn't say, well, I thought I wanted this today. I mean, they opened the gate to put them in this field. They didn't say, I think I'm just over here. No, they didn't do anything like that. They went where the shepherd said, go. See, and that's what we got to do. And they didn't worry about it. They were confident if that's what the shepherd wanted them to do. And we need to trust. And the reason we do have the right and the ought to be in our hearts to trust the shepherd is because who the shepherd is. The shepherd is the Lord. That's what the book says. The Lord, David said, is my shepherd. And he's talking about the Lord, capital L. That's the Lord of the universe. That's Jehovah. That means He provides. That means the Lord is my deliverer. And that's who your shepherd is. And this is a personal psalm. This, you know, the Bible is personal about the grace. 28, I think I counted 28 personal pronouns in 6 verses of Psalm 23. 28. So it's mine. See, your personal relationship with the Lord, that is what you need to make sure that flows in. You get in there with God, you connect. How do you do that? You submit to Him with everything you've got. You realize that God is right all the time. You trust Him. You get into this book because it's what God wants us to know about Him and His will in our life. Okay? And so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now the thing about this, and I mentioned just a little bit a while ago, it does not mean that we're going to get everything we want. Some of us, as we get older, have realized how important it is that God has told us no in our lives. That we have not gotten everything we want. If you have any situations like that, I sure do. We don't get everything we want. That's not what this means. But it means that we'll get everything we need. See? And then one of the great struggles we have is determining the difference of what we want and what we need. Because we live in a world that says pretty much going to tell us exactly what we need to the point that we're going to want it. See, the world, the culture, the Babylonian Empire that we live in, and that's the world culture, is this is what you need to want. Because you need this. You got to have it. But the deal is, do we really need it? See what God's grace is. This is what the Bible does. See, we need to learn to do without some things. You understand what I mean? Do you know there was a time when people wouldn't get anything that they couldn't pay for in cash? But you know what? Now, whatever we want, we just pull out a credit card. You know what? Debt. Debt has ruined a lot of marriages. Debt will ruin a life. Because you get so involved in it that you can't really enjoy the grace of God in your life. Because you're so many committed. And, I mean, but what God will do, and this is so reminding, He will give us everything we need. And then He'll teach us how to do without things we don't need. You understand that? See, God will teach you how to do without something. You know how I'm doing that? You know, the Bible tells us, Paul says in Philippians, he says, I've learned to be content. You know, contentment is something you learn. You learn to be content with whatsoever things I have. That's what Paul said. You know, you can learn, and I can learn to be pretty doggone content with what we got. And then, you know, maybe, just maybe, God didn't intend for us to have something else. You know, at the end of the day, I thought I needed a front end loader on my tractor. I just thought I needed one. I mean, I could use it. I see other people with them. And then I got to checking with some folks I know, and that's going to cost you $10,000. And then I figured, you know, I can do without that. I mean, there's some things you can learn to do without. And the thing about it, what else do you need but God? I mean, you've got Jesus, and what else do you need? I don't actually know anything else I need. I mean, God says, I'm going to give you what you need. Now, let's look at this real quick. What we need. The Lord says, you shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know, one of our greatest needs is just to lie down? Just to understand what green pastures. You know what green pastures is reverence to? It's the Word of God. It's the lushness. Jesus Christ says, I came that you have a life and have it more abundantly. But we are so busy. It's kind of like, you know, Mary and Martha. You know, there's both of them love Jesus. But Mary was in revival, I would say. And Martha was cumbered about many things. Both of them were children of God, I mean this. But what did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was in them green pastures. And sometimes sometimes you understand that God would make us lay down in green pasture. Now, I said the other day, and somewhere, might have said here, I got a few calves. And cows are ruminants, just like sheep. And this, the sheep vision here is good, because when I notice in my cows, lots of mornings, when I'm in my study, I have a pasture, and I'll see when daylight comes, silhouettes of those cattle grazing. I mean, they're out there knee-deep in grass and dew. When the dew, I mean, it's daylight. But probably till 11 o'clock, they're going to be laying down. They're going to be under shade somewhere. And they'll lay here for 3 or 4 hours a day. But I go up, sometimes when I'm checking or something during calving season, they'll be chewing. They'll be chewing something. And what they're chewing, they're chewing their cud. And that's what sheep do. What happened? They're eating that grass already, but they bring it back up. They got 5 stomachs or something like that. And they bring it back up. And that's how we need to do the Word of God. You study your Bible, you look at God's Word, and you study it, or you come to church. You know, you need to bring that back up. That's why I told you, you read the Word of God 5 times a day. At different times of the day. It keeps your mind. It's a pattern of thinking, see? And that's what we need. We need these green pastures. And green develops life. This book is a living book. And so the green pastures, God gives us these green pastures. And God gives us the impressions of His Word. And you stay in that Word of God in the green pastures of life. And that's what gives us strength. That's how we think God feeds the sheep. The green pastures, and these pastures, when you lie down, you're satisfied. You're satisfied with the truth of God. And then he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And now being still, again, is one of the hardest things that we have to do as believers. Just be still. But yet we don't understand that if you don't really know God, you've got to get still. You know, you ever heard of having a revival? Mountain, or having to revive an ocean. I knew it. Yeah, why? Well, because they're great. They're just there. And I know that's a natural object, but still, to understand the still waters, it's kind of like this, to be still. One day, we were doing a forestry project in the Chattahoochee National Forest, and we were doing a timber cruise of about 15,000 acres, and I never had worked in the mountains. We went in that year, we didn't have much to do, we had some guys that needed work, so we got a government contract with U.S. Forest Service. So I was up there above, somewhere around Blairsville and McCoochee somewhere, and so I was in, we were by ourselves, different plots, you know, we put each other out in the woods, and wouldn't see each other all day. So it was in the summer, and I remember I was hot, and it was hot, and I was walking up in mountains, and that's different. I mean, I'm from the flatwoods. I mean, you know, I get up there, and I'm going up, and all of a sudden, I just sit down. I mean, man, I don't know. I mean, it must have been 100 degrees. All of a sudden, I hear something. What is that? Man, that sounds like water. It was a waterfall. There's a waterfall. It was, I don't know if you've ever been in that area. It's called Pelton Creek Falls. We found it. It's got an awful path up in here. And my family and I, after that, when we go to the mountains, we found out how to get there. And we would go through it. But what I did, I went over there, and I just, you know, when you get in a waterfall, you can't say anything. I mean, you know, you can try, but there's no use. You see, that's how God is. You see, God's just like that mountain. I mean, you ever see these runaway truck routes up in the mountains? You know what they're for? They keep those 18-wheelers when they lose their brakes. That stops. What stops? They run up on that mountain. See, that's how God is. See, God's like a mountain. The closer you get to God, the bigger He gets. And so that's why it's important for us to stay close to Him. That's what the grace of God, that's what hooks you to God, is God's grace. You ought to be so thankful that God has given you an affinity for Him and His love and grace. You know that you love Him, and that's because He first loved you. You do know that. You do know that He has made you a sheep, and you're the sheep of His pasture. And He loves you, and He's going to care for you. And so I remember those waterfalls, but I really can't say what I'm going to do. He restores my soul. Now, I know I can speak to myself, but probably most here. When he's talking about restoring our soul, he's talking about forgiving us of our sin. I am convinced that what this means, and that's what grace is about, because God restores our soul. He cleanses us from all sin. How much sin does he cleanses? All of it. How much of our sin did he pay? All of it. We don't keep paying some. I mean, it's all done. I mean, Jesus paid it all. Do you get that? My friends, that is grace. Don't let the devil hang something over your head that happened 30, 40 years ago, 15 or 20, or something you're going to get wrong. I mean, God has done it. It's given to Christ. And I don't understand. And it's kind of like this. Three or four years ago, my daughter Jennifer called me one afternoon. She said, "Dad, I need you to pray for me." I said, "What you need? What's going on?" She says, "Well, I am going to give one of my kidneys to somebody." And she don't hardly know this person. I said, "Jennifer, what are you going to do that?" I said, "You have a husband and three small children, and you're going to give one of your kidneys to somebody." And she said, "Well, Daddy, I just feel like I want to do it. I feel like God wants me to do it." And said, "I'm having a test tomorrow, and if I match, I'm going to do it. I want you to pray for me." Did you know that was the hardest prayer that I've ever prayed for my daughter? She had that done in Augusta, Georgia. And she laid there, and I'm trying to pray for my daughter to give her a kidney that was going to take from my daughter to give to somebody that I didn't even know. And I didn't even know and appreciate. I don't know. But, you know, it often convicted me. And everything went fine for both parties, thank God. But that's just a small measure of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I mean, here's a man of God that took on flesh that has gotten on the cross to take our sin, all of them, and to die for us. No wonder you can have a praise, man. I mean, you want to praise all the time, Brother Mary. Well, thank God for you. I mean, we need to thank God. He's given us. He's restored. That's what restoring our soul is about. He restored my soul. Now, you know, we kind of, it's been about, you know, where you're going to election, where you're going to elect, predestinated. What you need to understand is that your sins are forgiven. That's what you need to understand. You need to understand who did it. Christ. You know, the first person that I understand from Scripture that Jesus took from the earth to heaven was a thief. That repentant thief. You know what Jesus told him? "Today thou shalt be with me on in paradise." And you know, I remember hearing a story somebody told about that and said, you know, there's jokes about things in heaven. Said the thief got in there and they said, "Well, why are you here?" He said, some of the people that whoever was interviewing him said, he said, "Well, do you know the doctrines of grace? Or do you know what justification by faith means?" And the guy said, "I have no idea." He said, "Well, what gives you the right to be here?" And the man said this. He said, that middle man on the cross, he said for me to come here. He said I could be here. And my friend, that is how it is. That is the blessings of grace in our lives. And that is revived. And what a blessing that is. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, the right paths of God. You know why God gives us the right things to do, how to live? For his sake. You know, it's not to build us up. Right? It's for Christ to honor God. When you do right, Irv Russell, the famed football coach at Georgia Southern for years, He had a slogan, two words, do right. Do right. And how do we do right? That's the path of righteousness. And God leads us in the path of righteousness. And that's what his word is about. He said, the lamp unto my word, the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. Now here's the thing about the path of righteousness I just want to say in passing. See, God has an answer for everything in our life. That's what a shepherd does. I mean, he's leading the sheep. I mean, I'm telling you what you need. You need a path. See, that's what we are. What we need. We need paths, and we need the right path. The thing is, and this is where we get in trouble, if you get your fork in your life and you have two paths you can go, always take the hardest one. And most of them say, most of them be right, you take the hardest one. Because that's the path that is most righteous. Because Jesus says, his way says straight way, the narrow way. One you got to kind of bend to get in. I mean, that is, you deal with that. That'll be the path of righteousness that God has called us to walk in our lives. And what a blessing it is. And sometimes there's bends in the road, and there's crooks in the road. I can't tell you how many rivers we crossed to get here from South Georgia. But, you know, I'm not concerned about because there's a bridge over here. I don't know who put the bridge there. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Maybe some taxes I might have paid years ago. But anyway, it's a story there. And I didn't get to the point in the road, and I said, we get off the interstate, it says, if you want to get 15 minutes quicker, I told Benny to hit the yes button, and if we got off the interstate, I said, if I'm on Price Street. I never been on Price Street before. And then there were some curves in it, but I didn't get to the curve. I said, this is a curve here. I mean, you just follow the curve. That's what you do with God. See, one day at a time, you follow God, because he's given us a path. And he went there before. He goes before us. That's what the shepherd does. See, he's in the path of righteousness for his name. Yet you are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's where the going gets tough. But when the going gets tough is when the tough get going. And that's what grace does. That's why we need to stay hydrated. See? Because this is where the wind sprint's coming. This is where we got to understand. This is where you got to hunker down and just go ahead and believe God and trust God in the way. It's not about your feelings. It's about giving your life to God and facing your fears and situations, knowing that your shepherd is there. My granddaughter one time, Kelsey, she was about 4 or 5. We were on a trip in North Carolina. And we were on family vacation, and we rode a train, and we went through a mountain up there somewhere, and it got pitch black. And I remember Kelsey sitting beside me, and I felt a little hand tapping my thigh. And she said, Granddaddy, I said, yeah, what's wrong? She said, how's the man on the train know how to drive it in the dark? And I said, baby, you don't have to worry about that. I said, he has a warning track. Do you know God has your life on a track? Do you know that there's a plan that God has for your life that was planned before you were born? Do you know that? Do you know that God has planned things and he works his plan? Now you and I don't understand that. You don't tell what God's doing, but I'm going to here to tell you that is true. God is real because it said the Lord is. And that word is present tense. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. So it's a God of is. I'm not talking about is God. Moses. You know, God said, I'm going to lead my people, Israel. And Moses says, Exodus 3, I think, said, I can't even talk to them. I mean, you don't want me to do this, God, is what he's saying. God didn't say, well, Moses, I know you can't. You really can't talk too good, but you know, we'll go and work on it. All God says was, I'm God. I am that I am. That's what he tells him. You know, it's not like, well, I got an excuse. I mean, you know, we're all God, but they don't amount to nothing when we're in a revival of God's grace. I mean, God's grace is sufficient. Is it or not? Is it? Is it going to be sufficient? Or is that, well, it's not going to be quite late. But it is. It always is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, you can fear, but don't fear evil. Okay. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. It's hard for it to break. Don't let it be troubled. So if you believe in God, you believe in me. If you believe in God, it's the same as saying again, the Lord is my shepherd. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know in our lives, in this, these shadows, this valley? Notice this is not a cave, it's a through passage. This too is your path. You're going through sorrows, and it could be financial problems, marriage problems, addictions, doubts, health problems. I mean, these things called shadows, but a shadow can hurt you. It can. And it's passing through it. And furthermore, the valley is where the fertile ground is. You know, I went up, Penny and I and the girls used to go up against the mountain. We'd stay in those chalets up there. They're on top of the mountain. You got a beautiful look, view, all that's really pretty. But the people from the mountains didn't live up there. You know where they lived? In the valleys. Why? Because that's where the schools were. That's where the gardens grew. That's where they raised their families. I went to visit a lady in Christine Kemp one day, and she said, they built a new house. Her and her husband had met her when I was at Lake Church. And I said, Sister Jean, this is such a beautiful place. And I'm so thankful. She said, Brother Andy, we are really thankful God has blessed us. I said, you know, that little house over there on Highway 46, she told me where it was. I said, that is where my heart is. Because that's where I raised my children. That's where we had to struggle. That's where we had to deal with where we're going to make it, where we're going to make ends meet. But I said, I'm thankful for this, but what she was saying is that valley is where. And you know, the comfort that God gives us. You remember the people, and you're one of these, that deal with life from the points of God comforting you through the valleys of your life. When there's only one set of footprints, and you know God has carried you through it. And that's the comfort that God gives us. But here's the thing, God doesn't comfort us just to comfort us. He comforts us so we can comfort others. And that's what we need to be about. I'm going to wait because I know you probably got some other things you need to do today. But I just want to say, you know, I think about this song, and this 23rd song, there's so much in it that I can't get to. But, and so much I don't want to tell you. But the main thing is, I want you to know that the Lord is your shepherd, and that you are a sheep in his pasture. And there's tread, there's levels of your life that you're going through. Yeah, the best is yet to come. And we didn't get there yet. But God always gives us something to look forward to. And what a blessing to understand that God has given us so much grace that he has blessed us to give us the ability to do without things in our life. It's just amazing to me to visit people, say, in a nursing home. And I saw a lady there not long ago, and she was complimenting how soft the beds were. I mean, you know, just that's God's right. I mean, the woman's in the Bible in a nursing home. And she's saying, my daughter's putting a bird feeder out here in the window. Don't you see those birds, how beautiful? And, you know, you'll miss that. You'll miss that if you're not attuned to God's grace. I'll close by telling you this example that happened to me, that I will view to God's grace. And I see the 23rd Psalm because it's 23rd Psalm is kind of like the birds that sing that we don't even notice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you just take it for granted. But if you ever get up and there's no birds singing, you'll notice. This is actual truth. These stories, I wish they weren't true, some of them, but they are. I was cruising timber again. And I was, at this time, they didn't have the day recorders, we didn't have them yet. I would go out in the field and I would record a plot, you know, tree sizes and the data I was taking on, I would record, voice recorder. And then I would go in the office and download it and live play it back and then tally it by hand. You know, that's what we had to do. So I would be out in the field doing all that. And I never forget. forget, I'd go in the office and I would play that recording back. And I start hearing those birds singing. And I thought, I never heard those birds when I ran up there. You get what I'm trying to say? I started hearing, I said, gosh, that is so beautiful. Well, why didn't I hear that when I was out there? You know what? I was so concerned I wanted to get through, how much money I was going to make on this deal, and whether or not it was going to have, you know, just moving on with it. And you missed it. And I remember the comfort, and God, I felt like, taught me how to appreciate His grace. And I felt that reviving Spirit of God in that office, but after the fact. And maybe someday we'll lay there in our beds of affliction, maybe in hospice or somewhere, I don't know. Maybe God would help us, though, before we get there, to appreciate each day as the trek that God has given us, these travels through this life of sin and sorrow. But it's an exciting, beautiful place because of our shepherd. It really is. And the sheep that God has put in the pasture with us. Don't y'all love each other? I know you do. I can see it. But what a blessing that God has given us. You know, sheep are flocking. They're herding animals. They don't stay by themselves. That's how God's people are. We need to be together. May the Lord comfort us and bless us. Would you bow with me? Lord, I thank you for this time you've given us to rejoice in your shepherdship. Lord, we do miss your grace sometimes, and I know I do, and I pray that you forgive me. I pray that we'll be more faithful and that you will teach us to grow in your grace, and that we can remember, Lord, that it's an assurance that only you can give us, that all our needs are met. We don't have to beg you for things, Lord. In fact, your word says that you even give them to us before we ask. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment to know what we need, to know that you know what we need, so that when you give it to us, we can appreciate it with more fervor and faithfulness to you. Accept our thanks, Lord, for this day, and for the music we've heard, and for the people we've been able to rejoice with. Bless each home and family, whose life represented here. Lord, give them vigor and zeal, and willingness to serve you and love each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.